Chapter 40. They were greeted by the blinding glare of white light. Before their eyes could adjust, a Scottish-accented voice said, "Hey, who are you? What are you?" Hand held before his eyes, Sam jerked the Glock up and pointed it toward the voice. "Hands up."
"Okay, okay. For God's sake, don't shoot me."
Their eyes adjusted. They were in a laboratory clean room, painted all white save the floor, which was covered in white anti-static, antimicrobial rubber tiles. In the center of the space was a 12-by-6-foot work table surrounded by rolling stools. On the shelves and tables was, Sam estimated, $250,000 worth of restoration equipment, including autoclaves, glass-fronted refrigeration units, 2 Zeiss stereo microscopes, a polarized fluorescence microscope, and a handheld XRF, X-ray fluorescence device. On the table's formica surface rested what looked like pieces from Bondurek's war collection. A broken spear handle, a double-sided axe head, a tarnished and bent Civil War cavalry sword. A triangle of articulated stainless steel halogen lamps shined down from the ceiling. The man who stood before them was short and bald, save a fringe of orange hair above his ears. He was dressed in a knee-length white lab coat. From behind a pair of thick, black-rimmed glasses, his eyes were comically magnified.
"Well, that's a familiar sight," Remy said, pointing.
Projected on one of the monitors was a piece of cracked leather bearing a grid of symbols.
"Eureka," Sam muttered.
Then he said to the man, "Who are..." Even as the words left Sam's mouth, the man spun and began sprinting toward the far wall, heading for, Sam realized, the red mushroom-shaped panic button mounted there.
"Stop!"
Sam shouted, to no effect.
"Damn it!"
Behind him, Remy was moving. She leaped forward, snatched the spear handle from the table, and hurled it sidearm. It spun through the air in a flat arc and smacked the man behind the knees. Arm already outstretched for the button, he grunted and pitched forward. His head slammed into the wall with a dull thud just below the button. He slid face first to the floor, unconscious. Sam, eyes wide, his gun still raised, stared at her. She looked back at him and offered a shrug and a grin.
"I used to toss a baton when I was a kid."
"It shows. Bet you're hell in a horseshoe pit."
"Hope I didn't kill him. Oh, God, I didn't kill him, did I?"
Sam walked over, knelt down, and rolled the man onto his back. Protruding from his forehead was a purple, egg-shaped lump. Sam checked for a pulse.
"He's just down for a long nap. He'll have a headache for a few days, but nothing else."
Remy was standing before the monitor displaying the symbol grid.
"You think it's the bottle from Rum Key?" she asked.
"I sure hope so. If not, that means Bondurek's got more than one bottle. Look around, see if it's here." They checked the humidity control cabinets, the refrigerators, and the drawers beneath the work table, but found no sign of either the bottle or the label.
"It's probably a digital image," Remy said, studying the monitor. "See the edge there, on the left? It looks color-enhanced."
"As much as I'd like to get the bottle away from Bondurek, this might be all we need. See if you can print..." Sam stopped talking and cocked his head.
"You hear that?"
"Oh, crap." He pointed. In the corner, partially hidden from view by a cabinet, was a wall-mounted video camera. It stopped panning, the lens aimed directly at them.
"Company's coming," Remy said.
"Quick, check the keyboard. See if you can print us a screen capture of the label." As Remy started tapping on the keyboard, Sam sprinted to the corner, grabbed the feed wire beneath the camera, and jerked it loose. Next, he ran to the door, flipped off the lights, and returned to Remy, who said, "Got it," and tapped a key. The laser printer's lights blinked green, and it hummed to life. From the control room, they heard a door bang open, then shut, then open again. Footsteps clicked on linoleum, then went silent.
"Down!"
Sam whispered, then dropped onto his belly and pulled Remy with him.
"Stay here and grab that printout."
He crawled down the short side of the table and peeked his head out. At the door, the knob was slowly turning. He extended the Glock and took aim.
The laser printer started rhythmically humming.
Printing, Remy whispered.
The door burst open, revealing a figure silhouetted by the control room's LCD monitors. Sam fired once. The bullet struck the man in the calf just below the knee. He screamed and toppled forward. His weapon, a compact Heckler & Koch MP5 submachine gun, bounced across the rubber floor and landed a few feet from Sam. In the control room, he heard a hushed voice bark something, a curse, Sam assumed from the tone, in Russian. The man Sam shot was whimpering and crawling back toward the door.
Got it, Remy called. Details perfect. We can use it. Come around, Sam whispered.
She crawled around the corner and tapped his ankle.
Here.
Sam turned, handed her the Glock, and said, When I say go, fire 3 shots through the door. Aim for the glass wall.
Okay.
Sam got to his knees, took a breath.
Go!
Remy popped up and started firing. Glass began shattering. Sam somersaulted out from behind the table, veered left, grabbed the MP5, then scuttled back to cover.
What are they waiting for? Remy asked.
Reinforcements or better weaponry would be my guess. We need to get out of here before either arrives. As if on cue, a hand appeared around the edge of the door and hurled something. The object bounced off the side of the table, hit the rubber floor, then came to a spinning rest.
Down, Remy!
Sam shouted. Moving on instinct and on the faith that he'd correctly identified the thrown object, Sam stood up, took a bounding leap, and soccer kicked the object back toward the door. As it reached the threshold, it exploded. Blinding white light and a deafening boom filled the lab. Sam stumbled backward and collapsed behind the table.
What in God's name was that? Remy said, shaking her head to clear it.
Flashbang grenade. Special forces and SWAT teams use them to distract the bad guys. A lot of sound and light, but no shrapnel.
How did you know?
Discovery Channel. At least now we know one thing. They're trying to avoid any shooting in here.
How about a little distraction of our own? Remy said, pointing with the Glock.
Sam looked. On the wall opposite the panic button was a paperback-sized plexiglass box housing a yellow mushroom bearing a pictograph of a water droplet.
That'll do. 2 shots, if you will.
Ready.
Go.
Remy popped up and opened fire. Sam charged the wall and slammed the butt of the MP5 sideways into the plexiglass box, ripping it from the wall. He jerked the lever down. From unseen loudspeakers, a computer-generated female voice made an announcement first in Russian and then in English. Warning. Fire suppression system activated. Evacuate area immediately. Warning. Fire suppression system activated. Sam rushed back behind the table.
Rain's coming, Remy. Protect that printout.
Already tucked away.
Cleavage?
Safer. Found a Ziploc baggie. To the right, in the corner of his eye, Sam saw movement in the doorway. He spun, let loose a quick 3-round burst. A monitor in the control room exploded in a shower of sparks, then started smoking. He dove behind the table again. With a whir, silver nozzles descended from the ceiling. There was a 1-second delay followed by a pop hiss. The nozzles exploded into cones of water. Sam peeked his head around the corner of the table in time to see a figure run through the alcove and disappear through the door.
Let's go before the cavalry arrives,
Sam rasped over the rush of water.
Wait, I'm checking my ammunition. I've got 9 shots left. Ready when you are.
When I go, put 3 more shots through the doorway, then follow me. Stay directly behind me, got it?
Yep.
Go! Sam got up and charged. As he passed the end of the table, he reached out with his right hand and snagged one of the rolling stools. 10 feet from the door, he pushed it ahead of him, then gave it a kick. At that moment, a figure appeared in the doorway. The stool, already tipping over and spinning, crashed into the man's legs. Arms flailing, he stumbled backward into the still smoking computer monitor. Sam was through the door in 3 more paces. He reversed the MP5 across his body and slammed it squarely into the center of the man's face. With a sickening crunch, his nose shattered. He went limp and slid off the table, legs still entangled in the stool. Sam picked up the fallen man's MP5 and handed it to Remy. "What now?" she asked, flipping her sopping hair away from her face. "Nothing complicated. We run for our lives." They went through the first door, into the alcove, then through the card reader door and into the corridor beyond, where the trapped water had risen to ankle depth. The overhead fluorescent lights had gone dark. Remy asked, "You have a plan, right?" "Wouldn't call it a plan. A sketch, maybe." "Good enough for me." He turned to her and took her free hand in his own. "Are you ready for this? You may have to do something you don't want to do." Remy smiled. Water ran down her cheeks and over her lips and rivulets. "Like shoot someone?" "No worries. They started it." "That's my girl. Okay, we go on three. Stay low and head left for cover. If it moves, shoot it." "Gladly." Sam grabbed the knob. "One. Two.